Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Ruff Ruff Raw podcast. We're here today with Mallory and Eileen from the Wilderness Cat. Welcome, you two.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, hello.
So to start with, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your pets and your blog? Just a general introduction.
Okay, so about ourselves, so I'm Mallory Cresta.
And I'm Eileen, her sister.
Yeah, so we are a sister duo, and we run a website called Wilderness Cat. So what we do is we blog about radically natural nutrition, a little bit of lifestyle inspiration, and we do product reviews, all kind of relating to this idea of a radically natural lifestyle for cats.
Radically natural. Is that something different than raw, or are you going to get into that? And I'm jumping ahead.
No, I think it's a good time to just mention that. So when I say radically natural, it encompasses diet, lifestyle, everything in your cat's life, really driven by the fact that your cat is a carnivore and what a cat really is as this really barely domesticated animal, rather than sort of humanizing your cat's life.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, in addition to like feeding our cat some more biologically appropriate foods and things like that, we also try to incorporate like different adventure into their lives, make sure that they have outlets so that they can get to like hunt and just like really be real, radically natural cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen all the pictures on your Instagram with them outside. Do they like it? They like going out and taking walks.
Yeah, they honestly don't like going out on the leash so much, but we take walks around. We actually live out in the woods, and we all go exploring together, and they run behind us and run in front of us, and we have a lot of fun doing that, so yeah.
Did you say off-leash when you're in the woods?
Yes, yeah, because we're close to home, and they generally stick pretty close.
So what's a lot of the information that you like to include in your blogs and your posts? Is there a specific topic that inspires you, or is it kind of just whatever's on your mind?
So all of our articles circle around animal health and wellness pretty much. So it does encompass product reviews. We'll talk about cat litter, food, sometimes we talk about remedies. We really just try to talk about everything that you might need to know about when you're raising your cat.
I've noticed you put like different resources that people could go to look at, or products, like you said, that they might be interested in, and you give a review on the product of how good it is. I thought that was really interesting and helpful for cat owners so that they're just not wondering what's good out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially with, I feel like cats, just like the space around nutrition when it comes to them and the products and everything out there, it always seems a little bit behind to me, especially compared to dogs. So I'm sure it's super helpful for you guys to be providing that information where a lot of people are focused on the canines. And I feel like sometimes the cats get kind of left behind in this.
Yeah, I know, like when we were at Super Zoo earlier this year, and also the year prior, I would talk to a lot of different companies who are really hesitant to even touch on cats, because it's harder for companies to like develop a product for cats. So like you said, they might be doing some really interesting things for dogs, but I think companies who are producing any type of product find cats harder to make products for. So I don't know.
Right. Don't you think that's because like cats are so different from each other, and they have such unique personalities, each cat, and likes and dislikes, that I feel like, and then they're also, to me, they seem like they change so often. So it's hard to have a stable, like, product that will always work for all cats, you know, whereas dogs, almost every dog likes certain things. So what do you think about that?
I think you're right, in the sense that it can be harder to appeal to a cat or to develop a product that a cat is going to like, because cats can be a little more finicky. I know I was talking to someone who has CBD treats, and they say, I don't know how to make a CBD treat for a cat because cats, you know, they don't like things as readily as dogs do. But I also think it's because cats are so different from people. I think people find it easier to understand what a dog is going to want. Whereas a cat, once you understand what cats are, it's a lot easier because it's very straightforward. They're driven, everything that they do is driven by the fact that they're a carnivore. But once you get to that, before you get to that point, they can be kind of confusing. So
can you talk more to that? What do you mean by once you start to understand the cats, so that they're carnivores, they just have different tastes and habits and behaviors?
Yeah. Everything that a cat does, I mean, unless we could be discounting their, like, you know, individual desires that just come up for no reason. But I mean, for the most part, everything that a cat does, from like their desire to be active at a certain time during the day, well, that's when they would be hunting. Or the fact that cats play at all is really driven by their hunting instincts, or the things that cats would want to eat, what they find interesting in a food. Everything about them is really, you know, driven by the fact that they're carnivorous predators. And, you know, realizing that really made it a lot easier to evaluate products and make decisions, and every aspect of really raising a cat gets a lot easier when you look at it like that.
Mm-hmm. And so I see that. I don't own cats. I have dogs, but Matilda has the two cats. And I find it so funny when I watch her cats, because they are true hunters, and, you know, just stalking Matilda and Vinny, and they will stalk Vinny and then just jump on him and attack him for fun. But that's back to their natural instincts of, you know, how they hunt. And they are funny, but you have to be ready for them.
Yeah. Those sound like some fun cats.
So were your cats, when you got them, did you always start kind of feeding them on this diet? And before you got them, was this something that you were inspired to do, or did you kind of go on this journey of having them and doing all this research and understanding, and it kind of like grew over time?
It has been a long journey. No, we did not start feeding them the best food. We started by feeding them dry special kitty from Walmart. And that is not the best food at all. We went through all of the super cheap dry cat foods, and it wasn't actually until Wessie, he had some kind of urinary issue, and we realized that after we switched him to a wet food, it didn't happen. He was able to urinate normally again without pain in the legs. We tried switching him back to a dry food, and it happened again. He was having problems going to the bathroom. So after that, we switched him to a wet food, and over time, I just started doing a lot more research. I got into reading. I was an active poster on this cat forum, and I started learning all about cat nutrition, and it grew from there.
Now, did your cat take easily to the raw, or did you have to coax them to eat it, or what happened with your experience?
So we don't feed our cats raw food full time. We actually feed them, a lot of different foods, because we try different new foods all of the time. We feed a combination of canned and homemade raw. As for taking to the raw, yeah, they didn't really have any issues trying it. He seemed pretty used to it. We've been feeding him little like chicken scraps and stuff his whole life, so it's always been something. I think he takes to new foods pretty readily. So.
Right, because you introduce lots of different foods. I feel like that's how Matilda's cats are too, where they're used to Matilda just throwing different things at them.
Right, exactly. And I know some people, they just feed their cats one food all of the time, the same flavors. And I imagine that would definitely be a lot harder. Like, oh, hey, suddenly try this pile of raw meat, which is totally different from what they're used to eating. So
yeah, that just the
I'm sure it would be a different story for
them. Yeah, aren't cats, they're more sensitive to like the texture, the temperature, and not only the protein, but just what it feels like and looks and smells like. I think that they're more sensitive to that than dogs are.
Yeah, definitely. It's like we always say mouse body temperature, right? So yeah, that's how cats like their food.
Right.
And sometimes mouse, they don't.
Would you say mouse body temperature?
Yeah, like the
like when they're hunting mice. Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Yeah. You want it to be what, 103 degrees? Yeah.
So where do you kind of gather and educate yourselves on this information?
So one of it kind of goes back a little further than that. I think, like Eileen mentioned, she used to be really active on the Cat Site forums. And I think she kind of introduced me to cat nutrition, that commercial cat food wasn't actually essential. And it was like this breakthrough moment where I realized that I guess I had always just taken for granted that cats needed to eat commercial food that was complete and balanced for cats, as if they were like these machines that needed a synthetic or a human formulated special like little concoction to survive, and that they couldn't just eat normal food just like a person.
Right, like they could eat real food.
Yeah, and it was just shocking. It's, you know, mind-blowing.
Right.
And yeah. So after that, you know, we started doing a lot more research. I've taken a lot of inspiration from Lisa Pearson's site, catinfo.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible resource. And then from there, you know, it really just depends on what articles we're writing or what topics we're writing about. So, you know, I'll look at different journals, and sometimes I'll look at other blogs to get kind of an idea of what people are saying. It really varies. Usually start with PetMD just to get a little outline of the issue and then dig deeper from there. Mm-hmm. And we also, like I mentioned earlier, we have gone a couple of times to Super Zoo, pet industry trade show. And so that has given a lot of insights into not only the pet industry, but just all sorts of things about caring for cats in general can come from talking to people who are in that business.
Right. You see what's trending and like what kind of mm-hmm. products are coming out that's new. So when I go to shows like that too, I see that for mm-hmm. mostly dogs, some cats too. But yeah, you start to see the products and you go, oh, okay, that's coming into play and people are interested mm-hmm. in that. But before we go any further, let's go back. How did you even start Wilderness Cat, your blog? And how long have you been doing this?
So Wilderness Cat has been around since 2016. So it's been just about 3 years. We started in November 2016. Yeah, we kind of started with a bad premise for the website. Right. But we got all inspired to have this website centering around natural cat health, primarily with the intent of selling diatomaceous earth for cats.
Which we never did.
which never happened. But we kind of drew on all of this other knowledge that we had developed over, you know, years of having different blogs.
Like, hey, we could expand upon this and mm-hmm. get into different things, not just cat behaviors, but cat health and wellness, and mm-hmm. Just dive into all the other interesting cat topics that there are to talk about.
Yeah. And so we combined some of the things that we had worked on her cat behaviors website with also, in the meantime, we also had a cat harness business.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a combination of the adventure cat revolution that we were always talking about with the cat harness business, with the cat. Well, it was really an article on apple cider vinegar for cats that we had published on the cat behavior website that we saw had the most traffic. So it was a combination of that kind of health and wellness idea with the adventure idea, with sort of our bad idea about diatomaceous earth that kind of came together to form what would eventually become what Wilderness Cat is now. But it's changed a lot over the last 3 years.
So what was the article about with the vinegar?
So it was actually about, I was telling you about our cat's Wessie's urinary problems. Anyway, when he had that, we had found this other article on apple cider vinegar for cats with UTIs. We had actually put apple cider vinegar into his food, and we thought possibly it could have helped. And there are certain things about apple cider vinegar that could potentially help certain types of urinary issues. But I hate to go too much into it because I think it definitely can't help all or urinary issues, and it's definitely more serious than something that apple cider vinegar can solve. But basically, it was apple cider vinegar as a home remedy for feline UTIs. But it's definitely not a one-stop home remedy.
Right.
But yeah, that's what it was about.
How it could help in addition to anything else you needed to do.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. So what do you think is current right now in the cat world? What's trending?
I think everything's just turning more towards the idea of raw food. I've also noticed people are really into CBD, which is kind of frustrating to me because it's just become like this pop supplement, maybe a little bit overhyped. Adventuring with your cat, that's definitely a trend that's growing. It's really just everything is turning more in the direction of giving your cat a better, richer life. That's more species appropriate. And
I think people are also definitely moving more towards environmentally friendly products. Like I've seen a lot of new cat litters, for instance, that are more eco-friendly, moving away from strip mined clay litters, more plant-based products too.
Yeah, that's a good point to mention.
I was going to ask if there are any common questions that people normally ask or want to get information on, or anything along those lines that you're continuously answering for people.
I think a big one is, what should I feed my cat?
Yeah.
Because people always want this one answer. Should my cat eat blue buffalo kibble? Is that the right food for my cat? Or, people want this one answer to what they should feed their cat. I think that's probably the biggest question that we see. Which there isn't that simple answer to that question.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There isn't just one answer. The only thing that I like to say for sure is, of course, with cats in particular, the wet food or going more to fresh, where the food itself has more water, it's better for cats because cats are not as thirst driven like dogs are. So they don't go and seek water as much as a dog would. And then sometimes that does then add to the possibility of more urinary infections, because they're not getting enough water because they're just not as thirst driven. So my biggest tip for cat owners is to make sure that the food you're feeding has a lot of moisture in it, in the food itself, not just leaving out a bowl of water.
Yeah, that is very much one of our core, the core part of our philosophy on nutrition. I mean, like we mentioned, that was what got us into even exploring feline nutrition at all, was realizing that the thing that we had been feeding Wessie since, we picked him up from the animal shelter, he came with a bag of Hill Science Diet. And it was just kind of shocking to realize that that dry food was not good for cats, and that that something as simple as switching to wet food could be so transformative. So
yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head with that's exactly it. There is no one size fits all food, but avoid dry food.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's what we say all the time.
Right. And I do know that, some people like to have some, snacky food out for their cats when they go to work. And, if you feed a little bit of dry food, then, that's by choice to keep your cat busy. But just to remember, don't forget the main part of their meals really should be more moisture based, to give them that moisture that they need.
And I mean, that ties into the same idea of just being a carnivore, because I mean, not just because cats are carnivores, but because they evolved to be these creatures that ate moisture rich animals and they were in the desert and they didn't have access to water. And so if you just think about what a cat would eat, and, you know, I hate this idea of like what a cat would eat in the wild, like what under what conditions is that? But I mean, you kind of, the idea does hold true and it works, that if you think about what your cat would eat on its own, that's really all you need to know in order to choose a good food. I mean, that would be, you know, high protein, moderate fat, not a lot of carbohydrates, not a lot of grains, nor a lot of legumes or sweet potatoes or whatever.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you just keep it simple.
And really, scientists have been showing that really both cats and dogs, even though we've domesticated them, they're still very much similar to their ancestors, you know, like 99.9% similar to their ancestors in their digestive systems. You know, they really haven't changed as much as we would think they are because we've domesticated them and made them come into our world. But still, physically, they're still almost, you know, the same as they were for their as their ancestors.
And I mean, cats, I don't know that much about dog nutrition, but the kind of the interesting thing about cats is that cat food as we know it didn't really exist until around the turn of the 20th century. So, I mean, before that, cats were just eating mice pretty much.
That's pretty much the same with dogs. You know, it's only been about, you know, maybe 100 years, if that, you know, even less.
Yeah.
And think, you know, these animals, of course, have been around for, you know, as long as we have or longer. And they were, you know, we didn't have to make food for them before, you know, it just became a commercial industry. That's what it was. You know, I try to tell people, don't feel guilty if you're not feeding the most expensive food out there. Just do the best you can. And also try to add fresh and real food as much as you can. And just even adding a little bit can help prevent certain diseases and help your pet eat better, want to eat, and also be healthier. So even if you still feed, you know, some of the inexpensive foods, you know, just add as much of the fresh foods as you can that are healthy that your cat will really like. And the same for dogs is, you know, same thing. You know, you don't need to be feeling so bad. You just do the best you can do. And sometimes you can afford more and sometimes you can't. And also with time, you know, time is also an issue with people. You know, some people don't have time to create things for meals. So you just do what you can do the best you can.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that's what one of the big things when we make raw food, it feels like we make a big batch of raw food, it lasts us for a couple of weeks, and then it's like, oh no, it's time to make some more. But then, like, you put that off because you have so many other things to do, so then you just get food to fill it in, and then it's like, okay, you finally get around to making your next batch of raw food, and it's always, like, a larger gap than I would like, but...
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on how people are kind of digesting information online today? Are there certain sources that you like? How do you think people are interacting with that space today?
I think... that situation is improving the more information that people have available online. So, I mean, I know that there is this idea that people are going to, like, you know, Dr. Google and they're relying on that as their source of veterinary information and, you know, it's prone to being misinformation. But I really like to think, and I think it is true, that the more information people have available, the savvier they become at deciding what of that information is, you know, makes sense and is true and is backed up by credible sources. And it's just making people more savvy, more aware of the fact that there might be some misinformation and just making them more critical thinkers in general.
I agree that it's making people more critical thinkers, and I do appreciate that fact. And I do hope that they start asking their veterinarians more questions too, instead of just blindly accepting things. Just ask. And, you know, it's okay if you don't agree with your veterinarian. Of course, they're trained in, you know, profession, but, you know, you can still ask and you can get second opinions and you can also bring up things you've learned and ask the veterinarian about that too. And then also put in what you've, you know, your common sense as well. So I think that today people are a little more aware. It's better to know more than be blind, in my opinion.
Yeah. So we get to talk to people like you, and we all benefit from, you know, having a larger community of people who are actually interested in things like this.
So where are some other places that people can find more information on you? I know you said that you have a blog that people can subscribe to.
Exactly. You can actually find us at wildernesscat.com. And from there, you'll find links to our YouTube, our Instagram, and Twitter. We're also on Pinterest, just under the username WildernessCat. If you go to our WildernessCat.com homepage, if you scroll down a little bit, you can subscribe to our email newsletter. Everyone who subscribes to our email newsletter will actually get a free PDF recipe on how to make raw cat food. It's our favorite raw cat food recipe, the one that we use. And we also have other deals and offers. And of course, you'll get to subscribe, and we'll always keep you up to date with whatever blogs, posts we come out with, or everything that's going on with Wilderness Cat.
Awesome. So any last parting words of advice or anything you want to leave the audience with today?
I guess I would just encourage everybody to give their cat an extra cuddle or nose boop, or whichever way they prefer to show their cat affection after they listen to this episode.
I love that.
Some cat love.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. And I hope that everyone goes onto your site to learn about some of your product reviews. That was my favorite part of your blog, and then some of your other information. It's a really great blog, so I'm looking forward to see your videos in the future.
Hey everyone, and thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Rough Rough Raw podcast. We love bringing you all this knowledge and content, and we want to make sure that we can keep it coming, which requires support from our listeners like you. So make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening, like us on Facebook and Instagram, and show us your love by heading to shop.ruffruffraw.com to subscribe to our newsletter and check out all of our resources. Thanks again for listening.